It's good to see you today. Let's take our Bibles and turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're in a series in Sunday school on listening to God. We've talked about God is still talking and God's purpose in speaking to us, why God speaks to us, God's way of getting our attention, and He has those ways of doing that. How to know when God is speaking compared to what the devil's trying to tell us, factors that determine what we hear, different factors, and then are you actually listening to God when God is speaking? And then we talked last week about the importance of meditation. If I could encourage you on something, that would be one of the things I'd really encourage you to do, is learn to meditate on the Bible. It's good to read through the Bible, and it's fine if you can do it in a year or read through it twice in a year, but something that might even be a little better sometimes is to slow down and meditate on what you're reading and ask God to speak to your heart. Don't be in a hurry. And if you don't get through it in 3 or 4 years, that's all right. Just take your time, be alone, meditate, think. Dwell on it, you and God and the Scriptures, and that's a great combination. And many times the Lord will show you things out of the Scriptures that you need and things that He really wants to give you. And so it's a real, real important practice, and I reiterate it today because I don't think a lot of Christians do that. We need to spend time reading the Bible, but meditating, praying. Lord, what are you saying? What were you saying then? What are you saying now? What are you saying to me? And those are three good aspects of it. So today, we want to talk about listening to God, your spiritual frame of mind. Your spiritual frame of mind. Matthew 13, beginning with verse 1. Let me read these verses. The same day, when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear is tuned in to God and wants to know. Let that person hear what God is saying. You have, for instance, two people that attend the same church, and they go for a number of years at the very same church, same preacher, same circumstances, the same regularity to be in the services. But one matures and one does not. And when I was pastoring all those years, I can tell you that you could see that in a congregation easily many times. One would mature, another one wouldn't. And why is that? Why is it that some don't really grow in the Lord like they should, and some do grow in the Lord? And I think one of the reasons is that people predetermine what they're going to listen to, and then they ignore what they don't want to listen to. Now, a lot of Baptists know how to turn it off. They hear it and they say, "Whoop, I don't want to hear that," or they'll start dreaming about something somewhere. But here's one of the problems. Number one is a closed mind. And look at verse 4 and then verse 19, a closed mind. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. The devil is always trying to steal truth. And then in verse 19, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and he's explaining that other verse, When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And so you have a closed mind of some people. Regular church service, they come, and there are people that are in that church service who actually have a closed mind. And they passively listen. They hear, but it's not registering to them. They're not really paying deep attention. They're not asking, as they hear it, what do you want me to learn from this? There are people who hear literally hundreds of sermons. I mean hundreds of sermons in their spiritual lifetime, and yet they have no intention of really applying many of those to their own behavior. They hear it, they walk out the door the same way they came in, nothing changes in their life, and the reason is their mind is closed to the truth. And so often they hear the truth, but they just do not respond to the truth. I know many times sitting in a congregation, which I do more of now, but sitting here, our pastor's preaching his heart out and he's preaching the truth. And I'm thinking, I know some people that need that. And I hope they go to the altar. And they don't. And I'm thinking, there they go again. They just walk on out without it. But many times that's what happens. And I'm not trying to be mean about it, but that's really what happens. They hear it, but they don't heed it. And they don't let it sink in, as we would say. So they people listen to a point, but they hedge on their commitments. And whenever God calls through the preacher, the teacher, or whomever he's speaking to you through, when absolute obedience is called for, many times they just slam the door. And probably all of us have been there at some point in our life ourselves, dealing with that. But they just slam the door and don't listen to it and don't heed it. And then a stubborn mind that is set, that predetermines what truth they're going to accept. A poem by Ella Wheeler Wilcox reads this way: one ship drives east and another drives west. With the selfsame wind they blow. 'Tis the set of the sails and not the gales which tell us the way to go. It's how the sails are set to truth as to whether or not that person is going to get it and go on with it. So that's one of the problems. And then secondly, a cloudy, what we would call a cloudy mind. In verses 5 and 6, Matthew 13. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And verses 20 and 21 parallel with that and answer it. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. They take it and they're happy about it, and then all of a sudden some things come up and they just sort of back away from it, back off from it. And that's somebody that has a cloudy mind, and they have too little dirt. In other words, there's no depth to it. They don't have any depth, and that's what he's talking about. They have no doctrinal basis. We Christians who have been saved any length of time ought to know the cardinal doctrines of the faith. We ought to know what they are. We ought to know where to go in the scriptures to defend them and to teach others what they really are. And so many times hearers who are very casual have no doctrinal basis for their beliefs. And during trials, a lot of times, that's why you see some Christians absolutely fall apart during a trial. And God doesn't want us to fall apart during a trial. He is there. He's with us. We can't shake our fist at God and blame God and question God and why me and have a pity party and all of that. God does not want us to do that. And if we have the right doctrinal basis and we understand who God is and the sovereignty of God and many other things. But there are a lot of people who shout hallelujah until affliction comes. Oh, they can praise the Lord when everything's fine. But whenever things go wrong and whenever things are bad, they lose their hallelujah and their minds are addled with confusion, turmoil, unbelief often is there. That's all a result of it. Their minds and spirits are really flabby. They're flabby from no spiritual exercise. And just as our physical bodies can get that way because we don't have any physical exercise, our spiritual bodies can get the same way because we don't have the right spiritual exercise and we don't build ourselves up in the faith. And then there's no root in the truth. And because there's no root in the truth, they can't take the heat of persecution and problem. And they're susceptible. A lot of people are susceptible to the cult because they're not entrenched in the Word of God. And I have seen it before in people in the churches where I've pastored, and even in this church in that length of time, where somebody came by in one of the cults and really confused them and pulled them out of the church and got them to go the way of the cult, whether it was Seventh-day Adventist or whether it was the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons and others. They got sucked into that because they had no depth. They did not know Bible doctrine. They had not studied it enough, and they were not entrenched in the Word of God. And cults come along and just take them up. And because of that, because they're not entrenched, they get all fouled up and really get messed up. Sometimes they make it back. Most of the time, they don't. But they're always, these people are always looking for a new experience. You know, a lot of Christians, I want a new experience. I want a new experience. I want something way out there. And it's good to get closer to the Lord. I'm not saying you don't do that. But they're not satisfied with Jesus because they really don't know Him intimately, and they don't know the teachings of the Word of God. If they did, they wouldn't always be out there looking for some weird, crazy, new experience. And then Jesus is not a temporary, momentary feel, or thrill, rather. He's not that to us. The cloudy-minded person, the person who really doesn't have their mind set, the cloudy-minded hearer has no intention of really investigating the Word or growing in the Lord. You have a lot of people who are members of churches like this. They don't have any intention of growing in the Lord or getting involved in service or really growing like they should in the Lord. Many do, but thank God for them. But that kind of person likes the security of this. I'm going to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm going to miss hell, and I'm satisfied. Friend, the Christian life is a whole lot more than that. The Christian life ought to be digging into the Word of God. It ought to be serving God anywhere you can, getting involved in the things of God, whether it's by giving or teaching or witnessing or whatever it may be. But that's the kind of person who knows truth, and they're going to live in that truth. And then the cloudy-minded hearer risks the danger of relaying unsound faith to his offspring, although he may not do it intentionally. And very simply put, a person who really doesn't know the Word of God and doesn't teach their children properly, their children are not going to know the Word of God. They're going to be a generation away from that knowledge. And the next thing you know, there's not going to be any knowledge of the Word of God out there like it should be. And so you contribute to the ignorance of your children and grandchildren if you don't dig into the Word of God, and while you have opportunity, while the children are at home or while you're around your grandchildren, to really teach them. So his lack of knowing the Word is transmitted to impressionable children. Children are very impressionable, aren't they? They really are. That's why I give away bubble gum. I want them to love me, you know. I don't want them to love the guy that gives away dope. I want them to love the preacher that gives away bubble gum. So they are never, these kind of people that have a lack of the knowledge of God are never firmly grounded in the Scripture, and they are prime targets for false teaching. Now, the Father who constantly, this is a long statement, but the Father who constantly analyzes the truth heard through Bible study, through church, or maybe personal devotions, encourages his family to sink its roots deep into the Word. When the father takes that to heart, and the mother, then they get it, and then they give it to their children And that's a good thing to do. And it teaches the children, gives them a solid support system. Don't you think our children need that? They need the foundational truths. That's why young children ought to be in church, and nothing should pull them away from church. So many people pull their children away from church for some other activities, maybe sports or whatever. But they need that time to get that solid support system on them. So when the storm comes, thank God many of those children are ready to face it in life. And then thirdly, we have a cluttered mind, what we'd call a cluttered mind. Look at verse 7 back in Matthew 13. And some fell among thorns. This is all the seed, the word, fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. This is a little bit of a different situation. Verse 22, he explains that he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh what? Unfruitful. That person becomes unfruitful. There are too many unfruitful Christians in the world. And the devil will detour their minds. He'll detour your mind. He's good at doing that. In fact, some of you right now are probably thinking about some of the things I'm fixing to say. Maybe not. Maybe you are. But many times you're sitting in church and you're thinking, did I turn the stove off? Did I turn the curling iron off? Did we put the garage door down? What am I going to be doing tomorrow? What's my schedule for tomorrow? Where am I going next week? How will I do in my next golf game? Am I going to be good at it? Or where are we going on vacation? And we think about all of that stuff. A lot of times the devil detours our mind, and he's good at it. We think about people. We think about money. We think about business. We think about our schedule. We think about school. We think about all kinds of things. And so worldly worries suffocate the Word of God many times. When you come into church, psych your brain up and your spirit up to say, I'm going to listen. And even if you have to leave a pill off, leave one off every once in a while so you can be awake and alert and listen and hear what God is saying. And so Satan bombards our minds with so many things, sometimes there's no room for God. And Satan detours our minds away from listening to God. And that can come in many different forms. So the best step is to bring your attention back to God. When that happens, immediately know what's happening. Be aware of it. Set a baited trap and say, I know who you are. I know what you're trying to do, Satan. And I'm bringing my mind right back to attention to you. So, for instance, if you're praying, isn't it amazing how the devil will fight you when you're praying? I mean, I'm telling you, he will fight you while you're praying. Some of the worst thoughts I've ever had in my life ran through my mind while I was on my knees praying. You say, that's not spiritual. Well, I don't know how you're going to weigh it, but I can tell you the devil fights good stuff, and he through demonic influence, not control, but influence, he can do that. So if you're praying and the devil gets in on your mind, just flip your Bible open to a psalm, read about 8 or 10 verses, and you'll feel better, and you'll be back on track. It really works, and you can do that. And if your eyes and concentration becomes something that gets away from that, and here, when you're trying to hear the Scripture, a lot of times one of the things, maybe you're trying to read the Scripture, and it's just not perking, it's just not coming through, stop and just sing a song to God. Just sing How Great Thou Art, or Amazing Grace, or whatever one of your favorite songs might be. Do praise Him for a few minutes. And the psalmist said in 22:3, but Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest what? The praises of Israel. And I think He'll inhabit our praises. Just stop and praise Him a little while in the song and get back to it, and you'll see that it works. Charles Stanley said this in his book about this type thing. The most precious information, think about this, the most precious information ever put between two covers is found in the Bible. Would anybody say amen to that? And there is something wrong in the thinking of a person who will not give concentrated attention for a period of time to hear its magnificent truth. I love that statement he made. I love it. Let me read it again. The most precious information ever put between two covers is found in the Bible. There is something wrong in the thinking of a person who will not give concentrated attention for a period of time to hear its magnificent truth. There's nothing like this book, folks. Nothing like what's between these two covers. And then fourthly, there's a committed mind. Verse 8, the Bible says, but other fell into good ground. Thank God for that. And brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Now go to verse 23, where we have an explanation of that. But he that receives seed into the good ground is he that heareth, there it is, the word, and understandeth the word, which understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. And so there are results from that. So a committed mind is presented as fertile soil. It's like good soil. And we have to work on that and discipline our minds to learn and to hear what God's saying and to follow up and to practice it. The committed mind is a teachable mind. If you're committed to the Lord, you want to learn about Him. You want to learn more about the Bible. And God can instruct a teachable man or woman anything. If they're teachable, if they really want to learn the Word of God, God can teach them. God can teach us. The greatest intellect in the world, the greatest intellect in the world who is not teachable will miss the great truths of the Word of God. And I'm talking about even Christians. They'll miss the great truths of the Word of God. You take a child's mind, going back to that, a child's mind is a wonderful example of a teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. They are sensitive and they really want to learn. And if you'll take time with them, they're teachable. They have a teachable spirit. And God wants His children to be the same way. We need to have a teachable spirit because God has a lot to teach us. Then principles to help cultivate fertile soil. What are some of the principles that will help us have this kind of soil where we can produce results? Number one, commit ourselves to listen carefully to His message. We've already talked about that. But whether it's a pastor or whether it's a friend giving you the message or maybe listening to something on the radio or television or reading a book or whatever or a Bible study, get it, learn it, pick it up, listen to it, and commit it into your mind. And then commit to resist outside clutter. That's one of the biggest problems we have. Satan tries to steal the truth with outside clutter. Ask God to help you. And then commit to evaluate our lives in light of what we hear. Commit to evaluate our lives in light of what we hear. We hear the truth. How are we doing? And when a preacher preaches and when he gets through, you ought to ask, and maybe he's explained to you what it meant then, what it means now, but then you've got to ask this question. Now, what does that mean to me? And a lot of times we preachers say we make application. And that's why we're doing it, because we want you to think, how does this apply to me? How does this truth apply to me? And so we commit to evaluate our lives in light of what we hear. Sift through the truths that we hear. And then fourth, apply the truths that God impresses in our hearts. Apply them. Don't wait a long time either. Start applying them right away. If not, Satan will steal them very, very quickly. You hear the truth, you know the truth, and apply the truth right away. Number five, commit to obey those truths, and we become productive, according to the Bible. We become fruit-bearing Christians. And that's what God wants us. He wants us to bear not just fruit, but much fruit. To abide in the vine and to produce fruit. Not only the fruit of the Spirit, but the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Getting people saved. On and on and on. But the different things that God wants us to have. And God will do that. Apply, commit those, to obey those truths. And then after we commit to obey those truths, fifthly, we become productive fruit-bearing Christians. Otherwise, we can attend church 52 weeks in the year and still be babes in Christ. We can attend church and get all kinds. When I was back years ago in the Southern Baptist Church, when I was a kid, I'd get these attendance things. I got so many of them, I got tired of wearing them, you know, for attendance. And I don't even know if I still have them somewhere. But that didn't make me spiritual. It really didn't. But it might help. And if I listen, what I listened to, it did help. But we can attend 52 Sundays a year and remain spiritual babes. And how sad is that? That people in our churches can attend faithfully and yet remain spiritual, immature babies. And they can apply week after week really be the same. If you apply the truths that come from this pulpit and from teaching and all, let me tell you, friend, in your personal study, all of that, you cannot be the same. You're going to be changed if you really dig in, really concentrate. You really want to get closer to the Lord. You want to know God better, know Christ intimately. You can do that. And if you apply it, it's going to have an impact. So, here's how we conclude it. Don't have a closed mind. Keep an open mind. And don't have a cloudy mind. Don't have a cluttered mind. Make up your mind. You're going to learn that. And God wants us to have a committed mind. I love God. I'm His child. I'm committed to Him. I want to learn this book. I want to learn it. And I enjoy any more than getting in the Bible, reading it, studying it, going back maybe to the original words and checking all of that and going back to the history of it and then finding the lesson that God wants. You know, this Bible has principles from the beginning all the way to the end that are unchangeable principles. And no matter where you cut it, it's the principles are there. And there's always plenty of application for us as we really apply, really listen to the Word of God and be good hearers of the Word. Father, thank You for the Bible. Thank You that we have the seed, and help us to love it and to know the importance of everything that is between the covers of this book, and to know that it is so important that we will give ourselves to it. Watch less television, not have maybe as much time wasted in some hobbies and many other things, but to spend some precious, precious time learning the Word of God, being built up, edified in the most holy faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.